Welcome to God in the Ordinary, a podcast to help you reveal God to others during your everyday. Special guests share their stories with songwriter and author Sharon Tedford.
Today's guests learned how to discover the wonder of God in all areas of life. He encourages others to find ways to reveal God in their day-to-day and is keen that we realise we're all on mission to share the gospel. My guest, pastor and author Dr. David Daniels. So it's really great for me to be able to introduce you to David today. He has a special interest in the Advent season, so we're going to chat about that as we enter Advent. David, say hello to everyone and tell us where you are in the world, please.
Hi, Sharon. I'm so glad to be with you today. Thank you for the privilege. I am coming from Fort Worth, Texas, and I am the pastor of Central Bible Church.
Excellent. So you're just down the road from me. Those who may be new to our show, I live in Southlake, Texas, just outside Dallas. So although David and I don't know each other, we're not very far. David, tell us about your church. Is it New Church?
Our church actually has quite a history. It used to be called Pantego Bible Church. A lot of people know the church by that name, and it is 116 years old, if you can believe that. We changed our name a couple of years ago because we moved out of the little town of Pantego. And though there was so much history with the name, we felt like we wanted to be less confusing to people, and we changed the name to Central Bible Church.
Great. And how long have you been the pastor there?
I've been here serving on our staff for 17 years and absolutely love it. I get to work with fantastic people and get to be among a fantastic congregation.
What a great privilege. And actually, David is recording from his office right now, so you might hear some of his fantastic staff who really like each other chatting in the background. So that's all fine. Don't worry about that.
We do. We do. We love to be together. That's for sure.
That's a great problem to have. David, here on God in the Ordinary, we ask our guests to share a reflection on Isaiah 61 with us. And I know that you have one ready to share with us. Could you do that, please?
I would be glad to. Isaiah 61 is such a beautiful passage. Let me share it with you now. Jesus stood up in the synagogue of Nazareth, unrolled the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and announced, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me and has anointed me to preach, to heal, to liberate, to comfort, and to refresh the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the mourning, and those far away from Zion." With this Trinitarian verse, Jesus inaugurated his gospel ministry and he set the tone of his mission, namely, that the Son of God came to restore his inheritance and clothe the nations with joy. Salvation was at hand. The prophet's words, realized in Jesus' life hundreds of years later, now find their expression in Jesus' people all throughout history. Jesus' mission was to cultivate oaks of righteousness for the display of the Lord's splendor. That is, as the gospel seed is planted in the lives of people, it bears beautiful fruit for the glory of God. This fruit is the Christian's work in their world. It is our ministry in Jesus' name, with Jesus' heart, to those who don't know Jesus, but should and can. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Like Jesus, God has made his redeemed people to stand up and announce with their Spirit-anointed life that God has come near to restore and redeem. We get to be a richly ornamented bride, showing off her jewels of grace and hope and love. We get to declare, to defend, to build, to serve, and to set free. Clothed in the righteousness of Christ, rejoicing in our new life made possible by our Savior's cross, we gladly put him and his justice on display to our neighbors and the nations. May Jesus' redemptive blessings be unmistakable in the lives of his people. As we make salvation known through our words and our works, may the Lord cause new life and eternal joy to spring up among people everywhere.
Thank you, David. In your reflection, you mentioned the gospel seed. What do you mean by that? That's a lovely word picture. How can we join God in his desire to plant that seed? What is it?
Well, you know, Jesus tells the parable of the seeds. He talks about seed that lands on different kinds of soil. And of course, the ultimate goal of God is for seed to land on good soil and not just grow a little bit, but begin to produce fruit So I believe that as we come to know Jesus Christ in a very personal way, the seed of the gospel gets inside of us and begins to produce fruit. And some of that fruit is internal fruit, fruit of character and fruit of joy and fruit of hope and all the things that God wants to do inside of a person. But I also think there's fruit that's external fruit that comes out of us as believers in Christ. And I think that part of the fruit that God is intending for his people is for the fruit of the gospel as we serve our neighbors and the nations around us.
And how can we serve our neighbors and the nations around us? You say the fruit of the gospel. How do I turn that into fruit in my own life?
As the gospel gets hold of our lives and changes us on the inside, we become extraordinary people. I mean, we have an extraordinary story of an extraordinary God to share with people all around us. And so while we might feel rather ordinary, we really have an extraordinary message. And so I think there's an opportunity for us as believers in Christ to impact the people that we live around. That's not just our family inside of our homes, but it's the people that live across the street or in the apartment complexes where we live. It's coworkers, it's our teachers and students at school, it's people in the market. It's a variety of different people. I believe we carry the gospel out the front door with us every day, and there's an opportunity for us to make Christ known in a number of ways with our lives.
Yeah, you mentioned a bit in your reflection about being oaks of righteousness, displaying the Lord's splendor, which is obviously a quote from Isaiah 61. How can we display the Lord's splendor? You're stepping into that with us now. Can you give us some examples? If maybe I work in a school or an office or a hospital, what does that really look like?
Well, I think the answer to that really in some ways comes from the phrase oaks of righteousness. When righteousness is discussed throughout the Bible, it's often put in not just in terms of our morality, we become righteous before God, but it's put in the context of justice. And I think as Christians, we become agents of God's justice wherever we go. And what that simply means is we seek to do right in the world for the benefit of the flourishing in the world. So let me give you an example. If a student goes to their school, they magnify and manifest the justice or the righteousness of God in the way that they support and see and are a blessing, not just to their friends, but actually to people who are friendless, people on the margins. They see the students with special needs. They see the students that sit on the margins, lunch tables during lunchtime. They are sensitive to teachers who perhaps are not the most regarded teachers. And rather than gossip about those teachers, they seek to be agents of justice and righteousness on behalf of that student and support that student and maybe turn their friends to see that teacher in a different light.
I love that you would say that about teachers as well. I think sometimes we miss that step, that as Christian students in whatever area, whatever age we are, we should be being righteous towards our teachers and our fellow students. Thank you for saying that. That's really helpful. So as I was researching you, I read that you had a career as a graphic designer. What happened to get you to shift from being a graphic designer, quite passionate graphic designer by the look of it, to being a pastor?
Yeah, you know, the Lord doesn't waste any pieces in our lives. I love that he uses all of the pieces, no matter where people have been, to lead them to where he wants them to be. And I went to school, to college, to be a graphic designer. I had dreams in my head of being an art director of some firm somewhere down the line. And right out of college, I was working as a graphic designer. I remember the day sitting at my computer working on a four-color magazine. And suddenly the Lord's voice came into my soul. I had been serving as a volunteer in our church and student ministry, and the Lord spoke to me in a very clear way that day. I remember pushing my chair back from my desk, and God asked me this question. He said, "Is this what you're going to be doing when you're old?" Well, I was only 22 years old at that time, so old for me was like 40. And I imagine being an old man at 40 years old. And I remember saying to the Lord, "Lord, that's a strange question. Of course, this is what I'm going to be doing. It's what I'm good at. It's what I've been trained to do. It's what I've always thought about. It's the trajectory of my life. It's what I get paid to do. Of course, Lord, this is what I'm going to be doing when I'm old." And God really challenged my heart. He said, "I have other plans for you." And so that was a very distinct calling on my life for me to switch paths and where God was going to lead me in my life. And it wasn't until later that I would be able to look back and see that there was a continuity between graphic design and preaching, and that God had not wasted any pieces, and the route that he had taken me on was really a beautiful, God had written a beautiful story in my life to bring me to this particular place.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of creativity needed in being a pastor. I know that for sure. And I just want to double down on this. You are not saying that if you are a graphic designer, that that isn't a job that God can use you in. What your story says to me is, if God tells you he has other plans, we should probably follow those plans. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. In fact, I sometimes have students come to me. I used to serve in college ministry, and so I was around hundreds and thousands of college students, and they would sometimes come and say, you know, I think the Lord's calling me into ministry. And I would say, that may be the case. I think the Lord's calling all of us to be gospel ministers. But let me say, when you think about ministry, that doesn't have to mean vocational minister. In fact, there are attorneys in my church and teachers in my church and doctors in my church. There are people that they can reach that I can't reach. And I think it is a beautiful picture of the whole body of Christ when people who have been trained to be doctors go and are excellent, amazing doctors where they are, and they get to be oaks of righteousness in surgical centers, and they get to minister to people in the way that God has made them to be. That becomes their calling. So I'm a huge advocate for people to discover what God has made them to be, and then how they will use what God has made them to be for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah, that's really important. That phrase that you just said, they will be reaching people they can reach because you can't reach them. The same for me. People who are doing other jobs are reaching people who I will never bump into. So you are singing our song there, David, saying we are all the missionary, every one of us. I also see that you like to train pastors in other countries. So are you saying that we should be sending people from America or Britain to other countries to show them how the Christian faith should be done? Or are you working on something that's more partnership-based?
There's most definitely a partnership that has been forged. As I listen to your question, I think there's actually a couple of answers, and the answers are at either end of the spectrum. On the one hand, Jesus sent us as believers to the nations. His intention is that we be a blessing to the nations. And so I think that all of us should have a global outlook with the gospel. How might I use all the resources that God has given me in my life to be a blessing to people everywhere, not just in my city or my neighborhood, but a blessing to the nations? So that's one end of the spectrum. But on the other end of the spectrum, I don't believe that you have to go to Ethiopia in order to accomplish mission. And nor do I think that in America or in England or in any other country in the world, we have the market share on what it means to be a Christian, and therefore we need to export that to other countries around the world. I think that we should look to see where God is working around the world, join believers in my case, Burundi, Uganda, India, Cuba, go and find where God is at work with those believers, support them in their work, and in many ways, stand on the sidelines and cheer them on as they continue to reach others in their locations.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Dr. David Daniels. David, would you tell us about your Advent devotion entitled Wonder? What drove you to write it, and why this title?
I wrote Wonder. The subtitle is Advent Meditations on the Miracle of Christmas, because I think there is so much that has happened in the coming of Christ. There are so many things that God was at work doing when he sent his son into the world that I wanted to lift the eyes of people to be in awe of the majesty and the wonder of God in all of these various details. So there's wonder in the fact that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. There is something wonderful in the fact that angels rejoiced at the coming of Christ. There is something wonderful that takes place at the fact that Jesus had no place to lay his head and that he was turned away. There's wonder in the virgin birth. And so there are all these various pieces of Christmas that I think can sometimes get lost in the midst of things. And we look at the big things, the manger, the wise men, the birth. That's Christmas. I think there's so many other details that lead our heart to worship Christ and to see this great thing that God has done.
Yeah, that's a really good word. Or that's something we need to cling on to. You know, we often talk about how Christmas started in the form of baby Jesus in a manger in Bethlehem. I think you have a different perspective that you believe we might be missing something. Do you think that maybe Advent started long before Jesus was born?
Oh, very much so. The story of Jesus doesn't start in the Gospels. We tend to think that the Old Testament is God the Father at work, and then in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, suddenly God the Son makes his debut. He steps onto the stage, and it's a new day. And there's no question that there's something new that God was doing as Jesus was born. But we find the promise of Jesus, and in fact, we find the very existence of Jesus all the way back in the book of Genesis. One writer said that the story of Christmas in the gospel doesn't start in the manger. It actually starts back in the Garden of Eden, because there God made a promise. As soon as sin entered into the world, God in Genesis chapter 3 makes a promise that he is going to send the seed of a woman and she is going to bear a child. There is going to be a cosmic fight and her offspring would have his heel struck and Satan would have his head crushed. And so we see even in the very opening pages of Scripture that God is making a promise to his people that the seed of the woman, who we know now to be Israel, Mary, giving birth, bringing Jesus into the world, that the seed of the woman would be victorious in the end. And so Christmas really has been written throughout the pages of Scripture, the prophecies and the promises of God throughout the Old Testament, and it comes to an incredible crescendo suddenly at the birth of Christ.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely a lot to look for in the Advent story in the Old Testament too. And I encourage you guys, go and dig into that. If we are going to choose to intentionally walk through Advent in awe, as you just said, how does this season of Advent help us to reveal that salvation is at hand to our friends and family and co-workers? What does Advent gift us with?
The great thing about Advent is it actually provides us a natural opportunity to talk about things that people otherwise might not talk about during the year. We have opportunity to share traditions that we do as a family. We have the opportunity to give small gifts to people as a way to bridge the gospel. I think Christmas is a great opportunity to ask people that we work with or our neighbors, how will you be celebrating Christmas? Will you be able to see your family? And here's what will happen. When we talk to people and we share our family background and our traditions, here's what we're going to find along the way. We're going to find that what is great joy for us as Christians is not necessarily joyful for many people around the world. We're going to find that for a lot of people, Christmas is loneliness. Christmas highlights depression and difficulty that they experience in their life. Christmas brings anxiety. And as those things come to light in conversation, there's a perfect opportunity as believers in Christ to say, I am so sorry to hear about that. That sounds really hard. I'm so sorry. Can I pray for you about that? Can I share something with you that's really been a real encouragement for me in my life? Can I tell you that I have experienced some of the same things in my life, but let me tell you what has brought me hope. It's actually centered around Christmas. And I think the Christmas season, the Advent season, gives us an opportunity to bring the advent of Jesus into the lives of individuals all around us.
Well, I never really thought about it from that perspective. Thank you. That is really, really true that sometimes Christmas does highlight people's difficulties and strains, and we have truth to share with them. So sometimes Christmas can be really busy for all of us.
Very much so.
If we already know and love Jesus, what gifts can we find during the Advent season? Is it perhaps an opportunity to change some unhelpful habits?
I think Christians in general, throughout most of the year, are very, very busy. There's a phrase that I heard a long time ago that said, Mary had a little lamb, it grew to be a sheep, and then it joined the local church and died from lack of sleep. We have a way of just keeping Christians busy. We're not insulated from that. And it's interesting, as soon as Christmas comes, we can get just pulled into the busyness of, you know, shopping and parties and wrapping and family and planning and all of those kinds of things. And Christmas should actually be a time where we step back and we take a breath and ask the question, what has God done? One of the things that's most helpful for me as a believer, and especially at Christmas time, is to ask questions of God. When I open my Bible and I read the Christmas story, or quite frankly, any passage of Scripture, but especially during Christmas, as I'm thinking about what God has done through his son, Jesus, I like to ask the question, God, why did you do that? Why did you choose that time? Why did you choose that place? Questions, by their very nature, cause me to stop. They just cause me to kind of slow down a little bit and listen for an answer. And I'm not saying that God's going to necessarily, in an audible voice, deliver a particular answer to you, but by asking questions of what I'm reading and thinking about, it allows me to enter into a kind of conversation with God, and that just slows me down and gets me thinking more deeply during the Christmas season.
So if we do nothing else during this Christmas season as part of our Advent or search for awe, asking those questions while we're reading our Bibles is a really, really great way to slow down. Why did you do it that way, God? Why did you do it there? Why then? Those are great questions. I hope that we'll all cling on to those. I wrote them all down. I'm going to be using those. Thank you for that, David. So at Christmas, we can focus on Emmanuel, which means God with us, for those of us who can't remember that right now. Emmanuel, God with us. But we also live in the middle of the now, God is with us, and the not yet, because Jesus is coming again. So this is a bit of a tension for Christians. How do we use that to drive us to reveal God in our everyday? Should that help us recognize the urgency of the gospel?
Well, we as Christians know that God is active in the world. He's not a passive God. He doesn't just sit in heaven and direct things like a conductor. He is actually very active in the world. And the Holy Spirit of God, who sometimes doesn't get as much airtime, if you will, in the Christian's life, the Holy Spirit of God should be at work in our lives. As we ask questions and we're getting into God's Word and as we're worshiping, the Holy Spirit engages in our life and reminds us that God is very real. He's very near to each of us individually. And that God who has come near to us and has become very real to us is a God that we want to make known to our neighbors and to our family members and the people around us. And so Christmas is an opportunity for us to remember that God has not just stepped into our world, but God has stepped into our individual lives. He is with us. He is present here with me today, right now. And this is the God that I want to share with my neighbors that live all around me.
Thank you. That's very true, that God lives in us. We have him to share with all of our friends. When Christmas is over, David, it's a bit unfair to talk about that since we have just started the Advent season. But when Christmas is over, because it will be, and we get on with normal life again, how can we foster an attitude of wonder throughout the year?
There is an end to the Christmas season. Depending on where you live and what traditions you have, you take down Christmas trees, you take down the lights, you box everything up, you put it back where it belongs. And there can be a sense that it's over. It's over. I think as believers in Christ, it's really not over. There was a time where we celebrated Christmas, but what God has done in bringing his son Jesus into the world is a daily experience for us. And for me, in particular, that wonder of what God has done and is doing is found by me spending time in God's Word. And I know that seems to be kind of, that's the standard answer that every pastor is supposed to give people, go read your Bible. But I can tell you this personally, I come to God's Word asking questions, seeking to discover that God is far more wonderful than I ever imagined. Whatever ideas I had about God for the last 30 or 40 years of my life, whatever ideas I have, those ideas are still much too small. There's still more. There's more to discover about His purpose. There's more to discover about His purposes in the world. There's more to discover about myself. There's more to discover. And the way that I discover those most often is by opening up the pages of Scripture, not assuming that I understand exactly what this story means. For example, I was reading about the wedding of Cana this last week, and I just came to that story and said, let's just pretend I don't know everything about this story. God, what do you want to show me today? And suddenly things begin to become bright and amazing, and I start to discover God in a way that I'd never seen Him before.
That should bring us hope that an experienced pastor is still discovering new things in the words of Scripture. Open our Bibles.
I tell you, I still open up my Bible and I still find things that I just go, I had no idea those things were there. It's a beautiful story. And it really fills my heart with wonder and joy.
Thank you. That's so encouraging. Open your Bibles, people. Open our Bibles, all of us. I'm talking to myself too. Open the Word of God. David, I've absolutely loved chatting with you. I know that people are going to want to read your book, Wonder. So where can we find you and where can we find it?
Well, thank you, Sharon. I really hope this book is an encouragement to any of your listeners. It can be found on Amazon.com. It can be found on Amazon UK as well. It's a small little book. They're little bite-sized pieces. It's a 31-day, so walking through like the month of December to discover the wonder of the Advent season. And I trust that it'll just be a good compliment as people open up their Bibles. They can open up this book as well, and it'll point them back to Scripture and the wonder of God.
Yeah, it's an easy read, small but mighty. David, thank you so much for joining us today. You have reminded us to read the Word of God and to find Him during this Advent season as we ask questions and seek to discover more about who He is and where He is. Thank you so much for joining us on God in the Ordinary.
Thank you so much. What a privilege. And God bless you, and Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, pastor and author, Dr. David Daniels. You can get a copy of his book, Wonder, Advent Meditations on the Miracle of Christmas, from Amazon.
For our show notes, go to 61-things.com. This podcast is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production. We pray that you're encouraged to reveal God in your everyday.
Happy Christmas, everyone.